It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll Alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
It's Football Friday on The Fan.
Block somebody!
This is a Football Friday edition of Danny and Dusty.
Brought to you by the Odyssey app. Download the Odyssey app, follow 1080 The Fan, and enable push notifications to get the latest on the Ducks, Beavers, Blazers, and more.
Football Friday with Danny and Dusty on 1080.
Take the fight to them.
The Fan.
Hour number 3 here on Danny and Dusty on a Football Friday. Whether you're listening on 1080 AM, watching along on YouTube.com/1080AMTheFan or Twitch.tv/1080AMTheFan. We appreciate you. We love you. Thank you for joining us on this wonderful, wonderful Football Friday. And I'm going to change gears here a little bit as opposed to just previewing some NFL games. But I got 4 games in a who needs it more scenario. And I think these are all games that I think you're looking at as potential playoff teams, whether they are a favorite, a team trying to pull themselves up by their proverbial bootstraps, or a team that maybe needs to make sure they get right so they can keep pace with everyone else. Let's start at the top of the NFC. You have a massive, massive, massive game in the NFC North. The Detroit Lions have already beaten the Minnesota Vikings.
Mm-hmm.
They are the cream of the crop, and I think you could pretty handily say they are the best team in the NFC, and they're probably the second best team in football, and I could hear an argument for them being the best team in football. But they're taking on a Green Bay Packer team that is going to be without Jordan Love. They're going to run Malik Willis out there, and they're dinged up a little bit elsewhere. However, they have established themselves a bit of an identity running the ball and being defensive disruptors. Their secondary...
Just a quick heads up. Earlier today, LaFleur came out and said that Jordan Love is questionable.
Oh, okay. Question.
Yeah.
So the guy that has a damaged MCL and a pulled groin is questionable.
Yes.
Against the Detroit Lions.
Yeah. That's
The team that everybody gets.
I would expect to see a lot of Willis.
Beat to hell so badly that it impacts them the next week.
I'm just telling you what the newsmen say.
I gotta listen to them. They have suits.
Yes. Also, last night I believe it was Pelissero. I think I was hinting very strongly that it was going to be Willis. So, but look, if they drag out the corpse of Jordan Love to play against that Lions team, go with God, because that Lions team does beat the hell out of you.
Yep.
But you take a look at where things are. Who is it for you more important for? Who needs this win more, the Lions or the Packers?
Especially if it's Willis, it's the Lions. If the Packers run out Willis or an injured Jordan Love, then you lose this game, and it's the reason why the Lions aren't the one seed. Or, it's the reason why week 15, 16, and 17, fighting for your, not playoff life, but your home field advantage life. It's because of this game, and you'll look back at it the same way that Mariner fans look back at that Royals lead that they blew where they were up like 8-0 and they lose the game 10-8 and they miss out on the playoffs by one game to the Kansas City Royals. This is a game, if you are a Lions fan, you need to win because you're on the road. You only have 3 games this year where you're not in a dome, and this is your first one. If you can find a way to win this game and continue to win at the pace that you have been winning at, you are going to get home field advantage and never have to leave the friendly confines until the Super Bowl. You need to win this game with how hurt Green Bay is. This one means more to Detroit for me.
That to me is the biggest game on the football slate this weekend. It's a battle in the NFC North for NFC North supremacy. Unfortunately, it gets knocked down because Jordan Love is very likely not playing. But you also have one of the other NFC North teams in a team that has not yet won on the road. 0-3, the Chicago Bears head to Arizona to take on the Cardinals. They need to keep pace, and if they want to end up being one of those wild card teams, I look at this game and go, this is a game the Bears have to win. They have struggled mightily on the road, 14 points a game on the road so far this season, as opposed to the 30 they scored home. I don't know if it's that they can't travel or if it's a situation of some unforeseen circumstances in some road matchups. Whatever it is, they need to fix the voodoo that they don't do so well. The Cardinals are a team who you can very easily look at this and go, if the Cardinals win, they are...
They're in first, I believe.
First? Yeah, no, they're 4-4. So they would be at the top of the NFC West, barring any other wins in the division. We'll get to the Rams here in a second, who are playing the Seahawks in a divisional game.
Yep.
The Rams are 3-4, so they need to get the win to catch up. But you take a look at this Bears or Cardinals team. The Cardinals, you look at, I think the Bears, they have to win to keep pace. But if you're the Cardinals, this is a game where, hey, this might be a situation where 9-8 gets you a playoff or a division title. Win,
yeah. Yeah. It's going to be the Bears for me, and here is why. Their next upcoming games, they are 4-3 right now. You play the Cardinals, then you play the Patriots. Then you play Green Bay, Minnesota, Detroit, San Francisco, Minnesota, Detroit, Seattle, Green Bay. They still have all of their NFC North games to go. You are going to be lucky, barring injuries, to get two wins out of those games. Then your other games that are not in it in the North, it's Seattle, who is frisky at minimum, and it's San Francisco, who at that point, everyone will probably be back, and they will be fighting for their playoff lives. You have to win this game, and you have to win your next game against the Patriots to even have a consideration at possibly being a playoff team. To me, it means more for the Bears to win this one, because I think that the Cardinals are going to have more winnable games later on in the year than the Bears will if they want to make the playoffs.
100%. And you take a look at where this Bears team is. They're probably, I think the Bears and the Commanders are both in their own vein, ahead of where they maybe had hoped or planned to be. I don't expect the Bears to make the playoffs, but if you want to be a team that's going to compete for that potential spot, that's a spot you got to go. The divisional matchup, the Rams and the Seahawks, I think you can make an argument very distinctly for either team. The Seahawks have been stinky.
They've had moments of
ineptitude.
It's been rough at times.
Meanwhile,
this past week they were dog poo.
Yeah,
it was bad.
And you take a look at the Rams, and it feels like the Rams have punched above their weight with all of the injuries they've suffered, the retirement of Aaron Donald. You just take a look at them and you go, huh, they're 3-4 and they're still there. Now you've got Puka Nacua, who's dinged up. He got hurt in practice yesterday. Thankfully avoided the
IR.
The dangerous injury list, as it were. But have they ruled him out? I thought he was listed as doubtful, right?
Doubtful or questionable is what I saw.
Look, Puka Nacua came off IR and then played the next day last week and was phenomenal. So am I going to say he's not going to go this weekend? No, because he's a dude. But you take a look at this matchup, and again, this is the division. Everybody's 4-4 except for the Rams, who are sitting at 3-4. The Rams need this win because they've already had their bye period to keep pace with everyone else. The Seahawks need this win because they desperately need a win.
Mm-hmm.
They started the season out
3-0.
Not even just promising, they looked good.
Yeah.
And now, is it a case of, you know, they just came out of the gate with better cohesion and more consistency because there wasn't a lot of turnover despite installing a new coaching staff? Is this a case of some injuries are piling up? DK's been dinged up. Their offensive line has been dinged up. Their secondary has been dinged up. Is that, you know, is it a little bit of column A, a little bit of column B? I don't know. All I know is this division is just, it is the most in the mud division in the NFL. It's not bad, but it sure as hell ain't good.
It's very similar. It's a slightly better version of Pete Carroll's first year as the Seahawks head coach and what that West division was like. Remember, Pete Carroll's first year as the Seahawks head coach, they won the division at 7-9.
Mm.
Now, they did go on and win a playoff game.
Jeff Fisher,
thank you.
Very proud of that record.
Beastquake. Some of it, too, with the Seahawks is you played Bo Nix in his first ever NFL game. You played the Patriots, who are horrific, and they're worse with Brissett than they are with Drake May, and you played him with Brissett. And then you played the Dolphins right after Tua had his concussion. You got the worst version of the Dolphins. Now, the Atlanta Falcons, you're on the road. That's a team that's probably going to win the NFC South. That looks like a good win. But all your other losses, Lions, really good team. 49ers, really good team. Bills, really good team, right? Giants loss, that's a bit of an anomaly, but it's the same thing as the Falcons win. So you pretty much have won every game that you were supposed to win, save one, and you've lost every game you were supposed to lose, save one. When I look at this Rams game, it's your last game before you go on a bye week, and then you have a gauntlet of a schedule a little bit as well. You still have to play the 49ers again. You still have to play the Cardinals twice, and they're frisky. And all of a sudden, the Jets might be decent now. You're going to have to play them.
See, look at you talking yourself into it already.
Well, let me just get through this point that I'm trying to make. But you have to go through your NFC North gauntlet as well. You play the Packers, Vikings, and Bears in succession, and they are all above 500. If you are the Seattle Seahawks, I wouldn't say that it's a bad season if you don't make the playoffs, but you need to be in the conversation. You are not a bad team to the point of you should be tanking a la the Patriots, but you are not a good enough team to where the playoffs are a for sure thing. You should be a team that either barely makes it in as a 6 or a 7 seed or barely misses out at an 8 or a 9 seed. If you lose this game to LA, I think that knocks you down from an 8 or a 9 seeded team that just misses out closer to a 10 or 11. And that's where you can see this season go completely off the rails. And then how good of a coach, how good has this staff truly been? And they have clear flaws right now. That offensive line is bad and they are not running the football well. And with Charbonnet and with K9, you should be able to run the ball better than what they are doing. So Seattle needs this one to me more than the Rams.
That's fair. I'll give you that one. I don't think the Rams are a team that should be chasing things. And it looks like they are a team that should be dumping.
I would agree with that.
At the deadline, whether or not that means, you know, they make Matthew Stafford available or Puka Nacua or Cooper Kupp or whatever, I don't think they'll go to those lengths. But it's one of those situations where it feels like they're playing with house money, where Seattle should be doing a lot better with what they have in hand.
I agree. Seattle should be rising. LA should be falling.
Yes.
Just based on
as far as how they're building towards things.
Yes.
And the last matchup here is, again, I think it's poignant that all of the games that I picked featured NFC North teams, because this is a very important week for them because they all need to keep pace and they all have games of interest. Obviously, the Lions and Packers are playing each other. The Bears and Cardinals have their own divisional issues to worry about. Colts and Vikings. The Vikings are a team that have started to slow down, and I think they're a little reminiscent perhaps of the Texans coming out of the gate very hot, but some very unfortunate injuries all out to your offensive line have led to some issues and maybe some more additional tape getting out on schemes and your quarterback and what you're trying to do the second time around is maybe being a bit more disruptive to what they're trying to accomplish. Meanwhile, the Colts have abandoned their rookie draft pick quarterback last year in favor of a veteran because they look around at their division and they go, why not us? And I don't know if this is a case of the why not us of the Colts or the Vikings trying to keep pace with the Packers and Lions. Which one kind of carries more edge?
To me, it's the Colts. You made a move that you said, Anthony Richardson is not our guy. Because when you bench him in this situation, in this spot, I think you're done with him. It's what Carolina did with Bryce Love. Obviously, they're going back to Bryce Love. Bryce Love will not be the quarterback. Sorry. Bryce Young will not be the quarterback.
Bryce Love might be like a good little combination.
They don't love Bryce Young.
No.
They don't love Bryce Young. And what they want to do is they want to move on from him. And that is the same thing that is happening in Indianapolis. They have made the decision to move on from Anthony Richardson. You cannot make the decision to move on from Anthony Richardson, bring in Joe Flacco, and then have Joe Flacco lay an egg. You have to win this football game, because if you don't, now everyone is going to start questioning you why you gave up on your young quarterback so soon. Because at this point, he hasn't even really had, 10 games? He hasn't even played in 10 games as an NFL starter, and you're already passing on him. You have to win. If you are going to make the decision to go to Joe Flacco, not only do you have to win this game, you have to go to the playoffs, because you have made it clear that you are moving on. And if you are moving on, you need to find success, because if you do not and you are not in the playoffs, you wasted trying to figure out if Anthony Richardson could be the guy, Or you're the team that failed to develop your top five quarterback pick and are already making another rookie quarterback draft in May, right? You have to win this game.
Dun, 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 dun. Speaking of games that have to be won, is there a must win for two Big Ten teams? We'll get to that more coming up here on Danny and Dusty, Danny the Fan.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
Quick little pivot here as we get a little hot route. The SEC has decided to put some teeth behind what so many have complained about, particularly as it pertains to Ole Miss and Lane Kiffin and what they have done down there. They have taken what I think they've Chip Kelly'd this in the sense of the Oregon Ducks taking the blur offense to the edges of what could be attained in college football. Lane Kiffin said, "I can do that with faking injuries. I can take it to an extent."
Lame.
And he is not alone in this. Were they playing Alabama 2 weeks ago?
No, they were playing. Was that their LSU game?
It was LSU game? LSU player literally looked at the sideline and just dropped to the ground. And it was like, oh, my God, sweet Jesus, what is happening here? It was so bad and so fake. And he's like, oh, I'm cramping. I taps to the inside of his leg. And it's like,
back out next.
Bro, we saw the mouth to you, like, go down. It's like, What is happening here?
The one that's really bad is where they're trying to get their subs right, and they're not going to get the sub right, and so the coach shoves the kid.
That was the LSU.
And the kid just falls. Yeah. And then I'm hurt. It's ridiculous, man. I understand what you're doing.
You're gaming the system.
You're gaining an advantage because you're allowing your substitutions that you need, or, hey, they've gotten a couple first downs. We're going to slow everything down. It's Bush League. It is so Bush League to go out there and fake an injury, fake like you're hurt, play the game the right way. And I don't like being a play the game the right way, because usually that's an old guy.
Uh-huh.
And that's a guy who's like, hold on to the football while you cross the goal line. Make sure that you hand it to the ref. Don't have any fun.
This makes all
play.
The Oregon fans who are like, Dan Lanning is a genius, but also, why are they changing the rule? And it's like, you know, it makes you kind of take a step back. Like, guys, it's just not good for the game.
This is not good for the game, because what people can do is sit there and point
taking advantage of situations that are not supposed to be taken advantage of.
Right.
But whether it's the offense or the defense, you're inherently taking a rule and twisting it to gain an advantage that you should not gain because you are not the party that is being disadvantaged.
When a casual fan can watch a game with me, look at a guy fall down on the ground,
go, what the hell?
Fake like he's injured, and go, well, that doesn't seem fair because he's right there again. He's back in. That tells me that you are doing something that shouldn't be a part of the game. You're not doing something innovative. It's not the blur offense.
No.
It's not going
fast. It's just taking something to the extreme and wrinkling every last ounce out of something. And to that point, this was 3 weeks ago. Ole Miss had 29 stoppages due to injury in the last three games against Power Four teams.
Yeah.
Okay, and ridiculous. I believe that total is actually 63 in total over
for the year
for that period. Yes, which is insane.
It's ridiculous, man.
That is absolutely insane.
It's garbage.
And now the SEC has put out, according to Commissioner Greg Sankey, SEC coaches and ADs have been notified as plainly as it can be stated to stop any and all activities related to faking injuries. It is not just, hey, stop it. It's, hey, stop it. Or your coach will be fined $50,000 for the first violation, $100,000 for the second violation, and for the third violation, they will be suspended.
Good.
It's not fans complaining. It's not even the casual fan complaining. It's not other teams complaining. You know who's complaining? The TV networks. They are complaining and going,
and other coaches.
Guys, that doesn't matter because other coaches are going to do it too, and they're going to take advantage of it the second they can. This is the money. You're screwing with the money. Like, well, what do you mean? That's TV timeouts. Yeah, you know what happens when an injured guy hits the field and the commercial hits? Everybody's like, oh, he's injured. I'm walking away from the TV right now.
Right.
That's not, and it disrupts the flow of the game, which disrupts the flow of commercials. You had people, that's what ended up happening here, is the money people were mad. And it doesn't matter, but at least you get something out of it of, we'll probably see a decline in this. But also, Lane and every other coach will go, yeah, $50,000 for the first one.
I don't.
If I deem that it's necessary, the university will. You kidding me?
I don't think he'll eat it.
If him and anyone else, they'll do it if they deem it's necessary.
We'll find out. Well, we might not find out this week necessarily with Ole Miss, although we might. Arkansas can be frisky.
Yeah.
Where we'll find out about it is in a week or two when they go and take on Georgia, because he's going to need every trick in his bag to win that game. And frankly, Ole Miss has to win that game if they want to make the playoff. Right now, that Kentucky loss looks really bad, and the LSU loss, while it's a close game, it's overtime, you're on the road, it's not a great loss. That schedule isn't tough enough for an Ole Miss three-loss team to get into the playoff.
Vancouver Vortex Line beat Georgia. Says, what's the difference between that purposely fouling somebody and basketball keep scoring? You're purposely slowing down the game to get back an advantage. The difference is, in basketball, you have team fouls. If you've got if a guy goes down four times, or you have four players go down during a game, it doesn't matter.
No.
Because there's no ramification. If you foul four times, guess what? The fifth foul, they're in the bonus. If you foul a guy, you wrap a guy trying to go up, they get free throws. This is what I'm talking about, and this is the same thing with the whole Oregon putting 12 men on the field thing. When you take advantage of a rule that goes so far that the intent of the rule punishes the non-offending team, that's when you have to do something. And that's why the rule gets changed about putting the 12 men on the field and the clock and the yardage and what you can accept and what you can decline. And it's the same thing here. There's a gray area because there are players that get injured. And with that, you take a look and you go, okay, let's see. What can we do that causes, a change in behavior? Well, make the fine hefty enough.
Fine. Find the coach.
Because that's where it stops and starts.
Yeah.
Is the coach.
Especially with Lane. I mean,
He has pushed it so far.
Well, and I'm also talking, with all those TikToks that he has to make, they've got to cost some money. And goodness gracious, no one's on social media more than Lane Kiffin.
No, but he's also recruited a lot better with it, too.
Well, they are really hot.
Just saying.
I'm not against it.
Get down to Oxford every now and then.
I'm not going to the SIP.
You're not going to go?
No.
That's actually on my bucket list of
you want to go to the SIP? You want to go to the Grove?
Look, man, their tailgate, the atmosphere, like, don't be wrong.
Or Knoxville.
I want to take the trip through. I want to hit a bunch of the SEC stadiums, but the SIP's up there.
I don't know if it is.
Look, I'm telling you, of all the places in Mississippi that I don't want to go, that is the one that I would like. Yeah, that's fun. I've done Biloxi. I'm like, I'm good here.
Yeah, see, I don't feel the need to go to Athens. Doesn't feel like straight some safe streets.
I mean, yes, but it's just, again, between the hedges, I'll go check it out.
Eh.
What about you?
Do I trust someone else to Uber for me? I don't know.
Get you the Athens, Greece? You gonna do that?
I would do that.
There you go.
I would hang out and just go to all like
streets. There are probably less safe though.
I would go. Yeah, but I could go to like the Parthenon, and I could go.
Look at you, Will, a cultured man. I got a Parthenon out of him,
dude. I like Greek mythology. I'm still upset that when I went to Cancun, I didn't get to go to the ruins.
The ruins.
Mayans.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to go to the Maya ruins, but the person I was with wanted to lay out at the beach. And I got to go sightseeing either way, so.
There you go.
Yeah.
Still at the beach. All right, so there you go. There's our SEC news. When we come back, we'll keep it in some college football, and we'll hit a little bit more NBA. But first, here's the Big Kahuna with a Sports Center update.
I hear they got some tasty burgers.
I was just waiting for to see the reaction on your face when you realized that it wasn't regulators.
It should have been regulators.
He's sitting
I want my
here,
Warren G.
He's like, oh, get a little regulators.
Nate Dogg.
And I'm just like,
no, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. This should be.
No, it's ridiculous. Regular. All the hip hop that stole other people's music. It's
nothing but sampling.
It's called remixing.
Sampling.
Like,
Bruce Hornsby!
There's a lot of remixing, man. Lil Uzi Vert just dropped an album. Should we talk about it?
No.
You're right, we shouldn't. I didn't
if
like...
If we're going to go down that vein, Young Thug avoids prison.
He did, 15, right.
15 years of probation?
Yeah, and
are we,
then
are
like...
Are we doing Mad Libs here?
I don't think that he can go to Atlanta.
Like, yeah, you know, he like can't go back in the state.
He can work with Gunna, but he can't like be around Gunna in a non-work related.
Yeah, it's very strange.
And Gunna has to be signed to him. Also, Lil Uzi Vert has Big Time Rush in his album, and it's a feature, but they don't really do anything. It's, I don't know. I prefer 2016 Uzi, personally. Would you like more of my music thoughts?
I'm lost.
No, definitely not. Something else that plenty of folks would go, what the hell? It's a Big Ten matchup that nobody cares about, but might have ramifications for whichever coach loses. USC is traveling up to Washington to take on the Huskies tomorrow night in a matchup of 4-4 teams, and I don't think you're going to find two more disappointing teams in the conference this year. Even though UW lost everyone but one player, quite literally, from their roster last year, their top 22, they started out the season looking better. They have a transfer quarterback who comes in who's been fantastic, taking care of the ball, wildly accurate. Jonah Coleman pounding the ball, successful on that side. And you just kind of go, okay, Jed Fish has got this. They're not, you know, Cignetti in Indiana, but they're pretty solid. USC starts the season out with a big-time win over LSU. And you think, okay, maybe they're going to get this thing going. You know, they start the season off relatively well. And then they have stumbled and stammered and fallen on their face left, right, and center. And they're at the point right now, if they don't win out, it's a real issue for Lincoln Riley and USC. If USC loses to Washington this weekend, I don't know if I don't know if Lincoln gets Lane Kiffin'd and left on the tarmac. But the hot seat goes from pretty damn warm to nuclear very quickly.
You're more of a USC guy than I am,
no
obviously.
Way.
Right? Shocker. If you go 3-1, aren't you okay? I think he's okay if he goes 3-1.
I think after the Maryland game, I think that becomes an issue because the one you're talking about is Notre Dame.
Right. I do think that obviously there's some anger. There should be some warmth to the seat that Lincoln Riley is sitting.
8-4 was the kind of the minimum expectation for the season.
But at the same time, like every game that you've lost, you've been in and it's been close.
Literally, one play separates every single loss.
Should you have lost the Maryland game?
God,
no, probably not. Should you have lost the Minnesota game?
God,
no, probably not. Michigan, looking back, that loss gets worse and worse each week.
Just make the freaking tackle when you have Donovan Edwards wrapped up by three different people.
That being said, Lincoln Riley, the first 2 years, was Oklahoma Lincoln Riley. He didn't do any defense, didn't give his defensive coordinator time to do anything that they wanted. They had a defense that they ran that should have been run by a MAC team, not a Big Ten team or a Pac-12 team at the time. You, at that point, had no defensive linemen that were over 300 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
It was ridiculous. You were just built off twists and stunts and everything was checked with me at the line. So you had to have a linebacker that saw everything the way a coach would. It just wasn't a good defense. And he's finally made the move to Lynn to have a better defense.
And the defense really hasn't been a problem per se.
Your problems have come because of injuries.
Yes.
But here's my thing about it with Lincoln Riley is it feels like this is the first year where he's made the move to this style of coaching.
And they're still working through it.
So he should, in theory, get a little more leeway.
Mm-hmm.
If this was year one of Lincoln Riley, he would get more leeway.
Yep.
But he's not going to get that leeway because he also has issues when it comes to recruiting in state.
And it's USC. You don't get leeway at USC. You get 3 years. That's what you get.
Has he done a fireable job for 3 years?
If they lose at Washington, you might start heading. I'm not down that path because, again, my expectation for this season, for everybody who hates me in USC, blah, 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 was 8-4. You can go back. You can hear me say it 1,000 times. I never was like, hey, this is a team. Like, look, I told Dusty. And
I think the LSU win changed a lot for a lot of
people. And again, I played that up with a bit, and Dusty and I were like, I'm like, if they win this game, I'm going to go all in and just have my fun. And he goes, you know they're going to crash. I go, yeah, but that's half the fun. But looking at this season, I expected there to be some bumps and bruises because I knew the depth was going to be an issue. And their recruiting class was and still is coming together better than it has, particularly in the trenches. But they are still not there. And
he's bad at recruiting O-linemen.
Yeah. Yes,
he's
he is.
Really bad. I think having Lynn there makes it easier to recruit D-linemen. Now, to be fair to Lynn, the defense is better. You have
they're just shallow.
You have one 300-pound defensive lineman,
and he's
that can't happen.
Well, not
you're USC.
That, not only that,
that can't happen at Oregon.
He's
State.
Out now.
That can't happen at
USC. Bear Alexander is redshirting. He's out.
Right.
So they're light in the trunk there again, and they were already light in the trunk to begin with.
100%. But I also think that when you go through this, Lincoln Riley has to recruit O-linemen better. The problem with recruiting O-linemen better is you have to do it in high school. Mm-hmm. You have to have those guys build, and then maybe you get a transfer tackle or a transfer center, but you can't have an O-line built off of a bunch of transfers. Yeah. That's just not how that position group works. And to be honest, Lincoln doesn't connect with O-linemen.
No.
He does a bad job. O-linemen are different. They're weird dudes. Mm-hmm. They're goofy dudes.
You got to have another pig to hop in the pig pen with them.
Or they're the angriest dudes you've ever met, mm-hmm. and they're really into Metallica, mm-hmm. and they're bald very quickly. And so you have to have a guy that finds a way to coach that offensive lineman up. But I'm looking at the schedule right now. This is one of the more brutal schedules in the country.
Oh, no. USC's schedule this year, I believe, was 5th in the country.
LSU neutral site. Mm-hmm. Utah State, that's your pushover. You blow them out. You get Michigan at the Big House. Mm-hmm. Back when, like, that's a brutal place to play. Like, I think Oregon in Autzen beats this Michigan team by 3 touchdowns mm-hmm. easy. I think that
the line is pretty good,
yeah. Right? You then beat Wisconsin, who it wasn't Wisconsin what Wisconsin is now, but that Wisconsin win looks better and better every single week.
And they dog-walked that Wisconsin. That was not a competitive game.
Not in the second half. You lost to Minnesota on the road. That Minnesota team has been frisky as hell.
But
they're going to be a bowl team.
A game that you were in control of.
Should you have lost it? No. But that's a better team than people give them credit for. You should have beat Penn State. You were in it the whole way. You just gave it up at the end. But again, you lost to the number 4 team in the country. If they beat Ohio State, they'll be the number 2 team in the country.
Here's the insane thing. And this again, this is the sliding doors.
It's a tough schedule.
This USC team, they very likely could be undefeated at this point in time.
You could make an argument.
And that's not even like me being USC guy. I'm just saying, like, let's throw this out there. They would not be the best team in the country, but if they were undefeated right now, they would be the number 2 team in the country.
They'd probably be the number 1, I think.
Well,
you would have wins against LSU
and Penn State,
and Penn State. Yeah. And you'd get love for having that win against Michigan on the road
in
the Big House.
Probably more than they should.
You would.
But you would have 2 top 10 wins against LSU and Penn State.
Yeah, or teams that at one point were top 10. Because
yes.
LSU's not top 10 anymore.
That's what I'm saying. But
yes. You're 100%
that's
correct.
Then
you have at Washington.
The sliding doors of this.
Nebraska. Nebraska's a really good team. Mm-hmm. They are going to be a bowl team. But they won't be looked at as a really good team because mm-hmm. they're not in contention for the playoff. No. They just barely lost on the road to Ohio State. They lost by 1 touchdown to a really good Illinois mm-hmm. team. The only real bad, wow, that's a bad blemish, is Indiana.
Yeah.
Indiana's undefeated.
And they're doing that to everybody. And my point is
it's a tough schedule, man.
This is the balance game that every coach has had to play at USC. Of trying to get the university and the program back on track. Back on the swagger, the history, everything that comes along with that program. Whether it was Sark and, you know, being on the sauce, or Lane not being mature enough or ready enough, or Clay Helton not being good enough. I think with Lincoln, you have the potential to be what you're supposed to be at that school.
He's shown he can do it before.
Look, I mean, you come in your first year and you go at 11-2 and you have a Heisman Trophy winner, and like that was disappointing.
You can make the argument that the worst quarterback that he has coached as a head coach is Miller Moss.
And he's really good.
It's Miller Moss or Jalen Hurts.
Again, really good. So, like, you're not worried about that. It's the other stuff, and it's the soft stuff. And if he does not figure it out by the end of this year, they may make a move. And if they bleep around and find out up at Seattle this weekend, that'll be the case. If you want to look for the silver lining, if you're looking at USC, Kyle Ford, who left and went to UCLA and came back, he was a part of that 11-2 team with Caleb Williams, said, I think that we got a young group, and we're starting to find that, and we're starting to find that identity. I was here 2 years ago. Obviously, we had an attitude about us. And that Dusty has kind of said that something just doesn't feel like that they're connecting. They're not coming together. And I think there's been some truth in that. And I think Lincoln Riley, and this is where I give Dan Lanning all of the credit, is that from the moment he got at Oregon, that has never once been a question. You can talk about the recruiting and development, all that kind of stuff. That, I think anybody can do that. As far as like if you've got the right people in place. I think what you can't teach is how to bring players together. And yep. I think Lanning might be the best in the country at it. I think he knows how to, which is insane considering he's what, 38?
I don't know that he's the best. I think he learned from the two best.
And Kirby, one is
retired.
Yeah.
But yes.
He has an ability to relate and push buttons better than I think anybody in the country.
He's doing a great job of it. And that's why they're where they're at. And Lincoln has to figure that out.
Yep, and I think that's the biggest thing he's got missing. All right, coming up next, with a nice little bow on today's show and finish off Football Friday before we hand you off to Isaac and Sue here on Danny and Dusty, Today the Fan.
It's time for a Blazers report on The Fan. The inside story on the Portland Trailblazers. Brought to you by Aztec Willie's Taqueria.
The Portland Trailblazers take on the Oklahoma City Thunder tonight. A team that many are picking to be the best team in the Western Conference. Maybe the best team in the NBA. They are not doing anything to slow that down. They have been an absolute unit here to start the season. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander figuring out his MVP form. Despite struggling to the three-point line, Chet Holmgren strung together a group of or three games that are of 25 and 10. They are going to be a problem. They are 11.5-point favorites over the Portland Trailblazers. This is the first night of a back-to-back. It is a home and away split against the Phoenix Suns. This Trailblazers report on The Fan is brought to you by Aztec Willie's Taqueria, the best place to go before and after games or any event. Check them out on the corner of Southeast 15th and Broadway or at AztecWillies.com. The Trailblazers are running into the buzzsaw tonight. They take on the Oklahoma City Thunder. You going to watch some basketball?
I have to coach high school football. Go Hawkinson Hawks over the Washougal Panthers. Boo, Washougal, boo.
Wow, they didn't go with the alliteration at Washougal, huh? It's not the Washougal
They're
Wombats.
Not smart enough to figure that out.
What would you go with? Washougal Wildcats? We have too many Wildcats. We need more Wombats.
What's against
there.
Wildcats? Go Central, baby.
No, I'm saying there's just too
many. Woo.
There's too many Wildcats. There's just, it's too.
My kids will be Wildcats if we stay at Westview.
There you
and
go.
I think Wilsonville is Wildcats.
Yeah. Well,
it's like if there's a
Wildcats
W, it's like.
Are popular, man.
Again, if you have a W, it's like what you go with. But why not?
Washougal could
need,
be.
We need more Wombats.
The Washougal Walruses.
Wolverines.
We had cinnamon, like. Yeah, you know, it's not like we're short
and
on
they could
W animals.
Dress up like Charlie Sheen. That would be a great mascot.
Yeah.
Or Swayze, maybe?
Swayze, yeah.
We were talking the other day about movies that have 1,000 people in them. We did not bring up Red Dawn, and we should have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Look, I mean, here you go. Here's
like
just a handful of animals to start with W.
Okay.
Walrus, we hit.
Walrus.
Wombat,
yeah.
We hit.
Mm-hmm.
Wildcats. What about a wallaby?
Ooh.
How about a warthog?
Wallaby, known for being in Washougal. Wallabies are all over Washougal.
How about wasps?
They could be the wasps. See, but the problem is the Hawkinson is the Hornets until high school.
Really? They have alternate?
Well, remember, now get ready. I'm going to teach you something about Hawkinson lore. Hawkinson was originally just K-8, so it was always Hawkinson Hornets. The Hawks, the high school of Hawkinson, wasn't built until, I think, 2002, 2003.
Wow, nobody was smart enough until then, huh?
Nah, Prairie just rode our coattails. You're welcome for Richie Sexton.
All right, that'll do it for us today. Dust will be back in on Monday. Will Orner, thank you for sitting in for 2 days, bud.
Thank you for having me.
I appreciate you. Everybody out there, stay safe. Make sure to give and hand off all of your candy that you don't want, like I did today, where I brought in all the remaining candy from our bowl and dropped it off here at 1080 for everybody else to eat. Because
I've
Lord
had
knows.
three Musketeers and a pack of M&Ms.
Did you ball up the nougat?
I didn't this time. I just shoved it all in there in one piece.
You shouldn't have told us, but then done it. like throughout the show,
just
that would have been
flicking
awesome.
Nougat everywhere. Nougat
that
stuck
would be
in the window.
So fun. Like, we don't know, but then we start looking back, and it's like, what's going on the YouTube? Rust is making a ball.
Yep.
All right, that'll do it for us. Everybody, take care. Have a wonderful weekend. It's now time for Eyes 2 in prime time here on 1080 The Fan. Bye.
I started eating out of the pie.
Wow, they get that big?
That's what she said.
It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.